Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted you can be with us today. You know, the area of afterlife research and education is full of people you would want to have as your friends. And we've been blessed to host many of these experts on Seek Reality, some of them a number of times, as they continue to share with us their lives, their struggles, their triumphs, and their wonderful, wonderful new discoveries. A special favorite of mine is the author and podcaster, Sandra Champlain. I know Sandra personally. She and I share an occasional lunch whenever I can pin her down, and I've had the joy of watching her develop over the past 5 years into something truly wonderful. In person, she's pretty much what you'd expect. She's always cheerful. In fact, she's always smiling. I can't ever remember seeing her when she didn't have a smile on her face. And she loves to talk about our shared passion for better understanding the truth and sharing it with all the world. My urgency about helping Sandra in her work has increased in the past 3 years, as I myself have moved on, as you know, from teaching about the afterlife primarily to teaching something which I didn't even realize would become so important in my life. But the thing about discovering details about the greater reality that includes the material universe and the afterlife together, the thing that I have learned is why we're here. We're here to grow spiritually. Nobody is helping us learn that. So as Sandra develops as an extraordinary teacher of all the truths about the afterlife, she's freeing me to be able to teach what to me now has become very important, which is teaching you how to develop spiritually, which is the whole reason you came to Earth. Of all those working in this field, Sandra Champlain seems to me to be the most gifted researcher and teacher, and I want to do all I can now to help you know her and love her just the way I do. So just briefly, Sandra Champlain's fear of dying led her on a 15-year journey to find proof that life after death is real. The result was her terrific 2013 book, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. When her father died, she created a free audio called How to Survive Grief. And now she does a radio show and podcast called We Don't Die Radio that's growing rapidly. All of this, and she still has a day job. I can't believe it. Welcome, Sandra. I am thrilled that you're here.
Oh, hello, Roberta. You just put a big smile on my face. So.
No, there's always a smile on your face.
I know, but even bigger, and there's not always. Bigger. But
yay.
When we talk about what we love, how can we not smile?
It's all good news. That's the thing about this. I remember doing the research. You probably had this happen too. I kept discovering new things. And my first thought was always, oh my goodness, everything I already know is true. And then that's true as well. It gets better and better the more you discover the afterlife. And people, everybody, you've got to understand that. It's all good news. So, yeah, I mean, no wonder you're smiling.
and it's really great because I do believe that any one of us, when we share what we love, you can't help but be happy. And so this is a great opportunity to share what I love and what you love and share you and you share me. And
right.
I do feel, I really do, after all this research that I've done, and of course, I do have We Don't Die Radio, that it's my mission on Earth to bring like-minded people that might be just working by themselves, doing their research and whatever that might be in the afterlife world. But for me to bring everybody together and to be able to share these most wonderful people to the biggest audience possible. So I really want people to have a great life. A lot of this stems from grief bringing us together, but wow, the world of the afterlife and, you know, and like what you're teaching now, what is our life for and teaching our spirituality while we're here? Like, count me in for being your partner and all of this.
That's the beautiful thing about this. Do you see that and everyone listening that Sandra and I are intense about what we do and we really share the same. And when we're together, we complete each other's sentences about what's really going on. I mean, we both get it. But we have been given different missions and very important interlocking missions, which is why it's so important, I think, that we continue to share our audiences. You know, if you don't know the things that Sandra's teaching, you're going to find it harder to understand the things that I'll be teaching, but it all fits together.
It sure does.
You tell us really really quickly how you got started, because we talked about it before. Sandra's been with us on previous occasions, but tell people what. Most people, if they're afraid of death, they're going to say, "Oh, I'm not going to think about that." But you said, "You know, I'm going to find out one way or the other." Think of the courage it takes to do that. I don't think I'd have that courage. I already knew there was an afterlife when I started doing this research.
Maybe that's why I'm on this particular mission. And the name of my book is "We Don't Die: A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death." Because
yes.
I grew up. I don't know. I mean, I love my parents, but there was never any talk about mediums or psychics, except for those people are weird. You know, they just,
yes.
There's no reality in that. Maybe my dad being the airline pilot and more of a mind for logistics. I don't know. But what happened to me back in the mid 90s is I just developed a huge fear of dying, and my roots growing up Catholic, there's a great faith, but there was nothing that, quenched that fear. So very secretly, having this kind of belief that I was born into, that not to trust the world of this, you know, the paranormal and metaphysics or all that, I just very secretly, without telling anybody, just started doing some research for myself because I wanted the fear to go away, Roberta. And so throughout that, very secretly, I did end up studying with psychics and mediums and studying about near-death experiences, even studied a whole bunch of major world religions and got into the world of recording the afterlife, these EVPs we hear of, you name it. I researched it and I got everything I needed to believe and get rid of that fear and know for myself that we don't die. However, shame on me, but back then I really thought people that talked about this subject were crazies. So I never told anybody my research because I didn't want people to think of me as one of those people.
Yes.
And so
do I know how that feels? Yes.
Yes. And now I could care less because I've got everything to back up my story and so many more. But fast forward to 2010, my dad gets diagnosed with cancer. He ends up dying a few months later. Grief wreaks havoc with myself internally and with my family. I had an all-time depression. I wasn't suicidal, but I could understand how people feeling this much pain would choose that exit strategy.
Oh, yes.
Something internally told me to study the grieving process, and I found out some things about grief that are not well known. I created an audio called How to Survive Grief, and it went viral, and people started writing me that not only did my words help them understand grief, but they chose not to commit suicide.
Oh, and my Lord, doesn't that feel wonderful? Every time you get one of those emails, you know why you were born. That's
exactly.
Every
but
day. Yes.
It made me realize that I need to get that information out, and how do I get that out to the most amount of people? And I thought, if I had the courage to share why I believe in the afterlife. Title my book was something so bold like "We Don't Die."
Yes.
Tell my journey with integrity. Squeeze in that grief audio is now chapter 10 of the book. And then the rest is, if we don't die, who are we and what is our life for? Empowering people to live. Never knowing that book would launch me into now having the radio show, now having, when we're talking today, 277 episodes with great people about the reality of the afterlife.
When did you start doing that? When was the first one?
It was recorded? About 3 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. But
no,
it was...
I know. It's so amazing. I've just you just passed me in the number of episodes, and I've been doing this for 5 years. So you're really on a mission. You're going to soon double the number of Seek Reality episodes.
Well,
there are.
Roberta,
I just love that.
I'm my own listener because I have a day job. My mom and I have a catering business working with race car teams. We work very, very hard. And I live my life, which I think many of us do, just thinking we are human beings, thinking there's nothing more. And I think that's just part of the design of coming to Earth, as we forget who we really are. But every episode that I listen to, I am, like I said, one of my listeners. So I ask questions like, my life is on the line. I want to know why these people believe in the afterlife. I want to hear stories. I want to get empowered to live my life And every time I hang up the phone from doing recording, because that's how we do it, we record them and then I air them, I am left charged about who I am, what my life is for, putting my pain and suffering in kind of like a purpose. You know, I don't know that this is the truth, but the way I live my life is that everything that's happened to me has empowered me for who I am today and where I'm going, as opposed to being a victim of it. So I am left charged about who I am. And little did I know that I was going to join hands with the top people in the world talking about the afterlife, now speaking on stages and
yes,
creating my own events, but helping people live life.
Yes.
Great.
What's beautiful about what we do is it's so self-reinforcing, because I now hear several times a day from people, there are days when I do nothing but answer emails, comments on my blog and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that, even though it takes a lot of time, I do it myself. I don't have an assistant who does it, because it's so reinforcing to me to hear what these people say and to help each individual person. As I say, every time you help someone, you feel as if that was why you were born, to help that person. And feeling that way, it's like you're living on adrenaline when you do this work. Sandra is a bundle of energy on top of everything else, and she does all kinds of things which I really, at this point, can't focus on doing. One of the things she has just done is to attend and present at the AREI symposium that happened in September. I have been deep in another project that isn't yet public, so I basically, for the past 6 months, I've been able to do nothing but that. But Sandra is taking my place, which is so thrilling. So tell us about the symposium. How did it go?
Well, first of all, I owe you a huge amount of gratitude, because it was my initial conversation with you, interview with you, reading your book, The Fun of Dying, that got me connected with you and the great people at the AREI. So it's all due to our relationship that I got just an incredible opportunity to be one of the speakers. And it was just 2 weeks ago in Scottsdale, Arizona. There were over 30 different speakers all speaking about the afterlife. And I feel so strongly about people having relationships and being able to have people that they can talk to about this.
Yes.
Because I think there's a whole bunch of us that believe in this topic, but there's nobody in our immediate lives we can talk to. So
yes,
to have a place that people could come together and talk about what we love. And there were almost 700 attendees that came. And I have only met a couple of times people that have listened to my podcast. And to be greeted by, there must have been over 400 people there that have heard my show.
Isn't that great?
So it is.
You helped them populate the symposium, didn't you? Good for you.
Yes, but the reason I'm bringing that up is to actually meet the people that listen and to look eye to eye with people and hear stories of such tremendous loss. And yeah, then I Googled grief, or I Googled the afterlife, and I found you on YouTube, whatever that may be. But these personal stories of how the words from myself and my guests, including you, have helped so many people. It just really fueled the fire within me. How do I get to more people? And and how do I bring these stories together, really,
share?
Because
yes,
we all need people. And I have this vision that the day will turn, that afterlife conversation, people will have no problem just sharing about it, and instead of thinking, oh, I don't know if this guy believes it or this gal believes it, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut, that we can be open and confident sharing. So to be at the afterlife symposium, where everybody could just freely discuss what it is we love and have fun together and learn. And I was floored by some of the things that happened, Roberta.
Like what? All right, talk about it. What? What
well,
happened?
Keynote speaker was Sonia Rinaldi.
Oh,
and
yes.
For those who don't know, she is a scientist in Brazil who for over 30 years has been capturing voices of mostly children in the afterlife and reconnecting them with their family. And it's very specialized what she does. And she's only been giving this away. So it's not There's not big money that you have to spend to do it. She's a beautiful, beautiful soul. And as of the last 2 years, she's actually been videotaping and getting photography of people in the afterlife. And what she showed on her presentation, she was the keynote speaker. She did this test of 30 women, and some were, most were the children of these 30 women. One was, a couple of them were parents of, but she had the intention of working with these women and bringing through pictures of the children or parents in a couple of cases. And my jaw was to the ground when I actually saw the photographs that she has captured. They, and for instance, she would film, say, a blank television, or she would film a blank computer screen, or in some cases, she would have a piece of bubble wrap between, say, the parent and the camera.
Yeah.
And she would film that. Now, what happens in that case is the picture could change, and the deceased folks that belong to that person actually appear in the images.
Isn't that amazing?
Recordings.
Yes.
It is mind blowing. And she has the great Nikola Tesla as her partner in the unseen world, which in my world, I'm like, Tesla, but why not? You know, why not our scientists working on the other side? His voice has appeared with his name, plenty of communications between he and Sonia. And she's actually got his photograph as well. And she has a photograph of him smiling. And anyone who's studied Tesla, there are no pictures of Tesla smiling. So she's got a real picture, but her pictures of people, the children, even different dates that they lived. One boy showed a picture of himself when he was a baby to younger to actually like he's growing up in the afterlife. And these are real photographs. And I had goosebumps for her entire hour and a half.
Oh, she is so amazing. And it makes sense about Tesla because he never went with the crowd. He was always a very independent, extremely bright and creative scientist. So he's just the kind of person who would gravitate to doing this work. And apparently he's heading the North Station. The North Station got started 3-4 years ago by, as almost everything that happens gets started, by Craig Hogan. There was a lot of effort made on their side to set up the North American station, basically centered in Illinois. But the problem was that they had a lot more trouble fighting the negative entities that have always kept us from doing this. So since she had already developed the Brazilian station kind of under the radar of the nasties, they have of late hooked up. So now the North American station headed by Tesla is working with the South American station headed by Konstantin Radove, who is, anyone who has studied electronic communication with the dead knows that name. He's epic. So this is something which is happening right now. And it is, to me, as world-changing as what happened at Kitty Hawk. It's as world-changing as the first Tin Lizzie that ever hit the road. But most people don't know about it yet.
I agree wholeheartedly, because those Wright brothers back in whatever it was, 1904 or 1906, had a dream. People laughed at them and they changed the world. So just imagine, I don't even know, 100 years from now, it'll be sooner than that, that people really embrace the reality that the afterlife is real. Our lives are for a purpose. There's such a bigger picture. But I was so excited. And another thing that happened is my friend, Scott Milligan, who is one of the very few demonstrating physical mediums on planet Earth, came to the symposium. And it took a little coaxing, but I believe I've talked to you about this on the show, and I know you've had David Thompson on your show.
Yes.
The world of physical mediumship is, to me, the most bizarre, hard to buy into. Like, there's no way this can be possible, but it is.
But except it is. Yes, that's right. And it is so evidentiary. I mean, I've only been in one or two seances, and what I've seen all by itself convinces me, this is not only real, but it's world changing.
It is. And just a brief of what it is. And also, I never knew about trance mediumship before you also, Roberta. And so Scott Milligan not only is a physical medium, he's a trance medium. And so over the course of the days at the symposium, off-site, he did two of these seances, which I'll tell you about maybe after the commercial or whatever. But he also did two demonstrations of trance communication. One of them, for instance, 90 minutes, he sat in front of a crowd of about 200 people. He listened to a few songs just to put his energy, you know, off so that the spirit world could step through and speak through him. He's got Eric, who sounds like a very, very older gentleman that lived in the 1800s, that gave an address about the afterlife. And it's so clear, not Scott. I mean, it is so clear.
Yes,
two different people. And then he's got Daniel, who's a Cockney fellow who died in the early 1900s, who's got a great sense of humor. But for the hour and a half, people could ask questions and Daniel would answer them. And some of them were some really devastating questions about losing a loved one, feeling guilt. Yeah. And with so much respect, he answered the questions. And we recorded this whole thing, and Scott has given me permission to share these recordings, even the recordings from the seance.
So where are you sharing those? Tell people where they can hear them.
The easiest way to get to them is I recorded episode 276 of my show. If you go to wedontdieradio.com, episode 276, that is me talking about the symposium. And in the description, if you're listening on, say, YouTube, you can click on all the live links to listen to these things. Or just on wedontdieradio.com, I have all the live links so that you can listen.
So that's, once again, episode 276?
Mm-hmm. Just simply go to wedontdieradio.com and you can easily, easily, easily find these links and just click on them.
Okay, and so if you weren't at the symposium, you weren't at these seances, go and listen and you'll be able to be there. Because they're held in the dark, so you're not missing much, actually.
You're only listening. Yeah, are in the dark. The trance was in the light, so you could actually see Scott.
Was
with
it
his eyes
really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. That is so thrilling.
Was. But if you're – what I really like about the intelligence of his friends in the unseen world is that questions that in 90 minutes, you never know what people are going to ask, but they're – was no hesitation. There was just so much divine wisdom that came through. But there were different questions about different things that never got asked. But Daniel gently weaved in answers to some of the most profound things. What is it like to die? Things about grief, things about the meaning of life and why we're here. So I have had such a fascinating feedback from people that have listened that didn't attend the symposium or weren't able to be part of that. And it's life changing. So if you have an open mind, which I know your listeners do, listen to that.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
I'll put it in the description too. So you'll be able to, you don't have to have written down the episode. Okay. So I know Sonia, I've never met Scott, but what a good man to come all the way to America just to.
Oh, you will meet him, Roberta.
Looking forward to it.
Want to mention a little something about the seances. The, they're highly controversial because they happen in the dark, right? So anybody, how can that be real? And just to paint the scene, there were about 40 of us sitting in a circle. Scott was sitting in what was called a cabinet. It was just four sheets of black material, and that's to build up the energy. He's actually tied down to the chair, strapped down so tight, everybody can check to make sure he cannot manipulate. And then the rest of us were sitting in a circle holding hands. If anybody broke their hands, it tells people that maybe they're manipulating. So it was all done with integrity. And there is this vapor type, I don't even know what you want to call it, but it's called ectoplasm that gets exuded from the medium. When I know that's a very Ghostbusters term.
It's just real. Whatever it is real. I should add one thing too.
Yes.
Not only is he tied down, not only does everybody get to make sure he's tied down and everybody in the room has to hold hands, but the room itself is sealed.
That's
it's sealed
right.
as to light. It's sealed as to being able to come and go. It's very important that this be held in an absolutely closed environment. Not just because they have to build up the energy, but mostly because they have to do it in the dark. And the reason they have to do it in the dark is apparently that ectoplasm itself is very sensitive to light. There was a medium actually killed when they unexpectedly opened a door. The ectoplasm was in the room, snapped back into her body, and she was soon thereafter she died. So tell us about this experience.
Yes. Well, I was sitting just to the right side of the cabinet, very close to Scott, and lights were out. And again, this ectoplasm can hurt the medium if the light comes on, you know, it can snap back into him, but our loved ones can step into that and become real again. And Scott has been sitting in the dark doing this for well over 20 years, even though he's just a 30 something year old man. He's got a huge commitment. And why he does this. Now there are things that happen, like there's a lot of glow in the dark toys and something called a trumpet. And you see these things like levitate and move around the room. People actually got touched by spirit children's hands. There was a bunch of toy musical instruments. They all start playing at the same time. I mean, it's crazy. Things look like they're floating around. But why Scott does this and has his commitment is for the next part that happened. There's something called an ectoplasmic voice box that was formed. And in this particular seance, two children got to put their face through it, if you can visualize that, and actually speak to their mothers again.
Oh, my Lord. Oh.
Yes. There is a organization that I have to share called Helping Parents Heal, their website, helpingparentsheal.org. And Scott did not know. I was the only human being who knew who was going to be in those seances. And Daniel came through. He's like the master of ceremonies that talked about these children coming through part of the organization, knowing that the mothers were there. I mean, Scott didn't even know of Helping Parents Heal. No, and so it was amazing to see the intelligence. But for two different mothers, they got to talk to their children again.
Describe that. What did the children say? What did the mothers say? What was the feeling in the room for that?
Well, it was... It wasn't a dry eye, I can tell you right there. Darren is Scott's partner and circle leader. He's kind of person on earth that's directing all this. But Daniel acts as almost like an evidential medium. He will say, I've got a lad here who says his mom is here, and gave some different things from his past. And then Daniel says, you know, does this fit for anybody? And this woman says, that fits for me. Now, she doesn't say who it is. And so in the communication that comes through, you can hear, hi, mom. And some, you know, one of the kids had a really funny sense of humor, and I can't really repeat it on the show.
Oh, no.
Not that bad. It's not that bad, but he uses just some slang that he used living life.
Oh, so that's evidentiary.
She knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yes. And then one of the boys also delivered a message for the mother to talk to a friend's mom, because it seems like he was going down the same path that this boy had. And this boy had committed suicide. And so there was a real specific message for the mom to go reach out and help a friend. But so much I, you know, love you. And the conversation wasn't long, because again, this ectoplasm is an energy that's built up, and just imagining this child or putting their face through it. But
yes.
It was so special. And just amazing. And, you know, I'm not those mothers, but with the specific words that came through and the shared memories and things, the mothers both said that those were their children, without a doubt.
The thing that people need to understand is that this has been going on for a long time. I first came to understand that all of this is real from reading hundreds of communications received through trans mediums. I mean, that was happening 100 plus years ago, and people knew about it. It was common. And it's really because science made itself into a limited sort of little boutique way of studying reality, because they'll only study what's material, and they became therefore useless. And they said, nothing we study is real. They were the ones who closed the door on this wonderful truth that we are eternal. Now think about all the parents who would love to know that their children are just fine, and that's being blocked by the scientific community. Is that literally terrible? So sorry, just had to say that.
No, I think it's fine. I think it's fine to share. And I also think there's a lot of con artists that have been around even in the early days. Nobody wants to be conned. You know, I now have the confidence to share talking about seances and ectoplasm.
Yes.
And one of the reasons I do is everybody thinks of ectoplasm, the green slimy stuff from Ghostbusters. But I actually found out that Dan Aykroyd, who wrote that movie, grew up in a spiritualist household. His grandfather used to hold seances and people would come through.
Oh, wow.
And when his grandfather had died, there was a chest that his father had opened, and in it were notebooks upon notebooks of all the stories of seances, who materialized. And so young Dan would hear these stories of ectoplasm, and he went on to write this movie. So now I think, I can share this. I can share this. And I'm not going to be able to convince anybody of the reality of trance mediumship or a seance by just listening to the audio. Because again, I think our mindset, but you know, it happens in the dark. But you attend one of these, and I go every spring and every fall to the UK to a place called Banyan Retreat that there's only about 40 people that go to this, and get to sit in two seances. You get to hear trance mediumship by a couple of different mediums. And my life has never been the same since. And people that sat will never be the same, because there's no getting your mind around how it happened. We all know it wasn't Scott putting on these voices. And even the things moving around were so far outside of the cabinet. And people kept getting up to make sure he's tied down. And we had some hula hoops that were in the room that were, you could take them apart, but they were definitely separated. And by the end of the seance, they were on the opposite side of the room. The hula hoops were all chained together and even chained through a couple bags that were there. I mean, talk about the intelligence of the spirit world doing that.
Yeah.
And a couple other voices came through. Even there's Morningstar, who's a Native American who has come through Scott just only on limited occasions. And I think because we were back in the homeland of America where he had lived, he gave just a really beautiful story of equality. That's something you'd be interested in.
Yes.
Not doesn't matter the color of the skin. We are all equal. Doesn't matter sexuality. We're all the same. And it's at the very end of the seance recording that you get to hear Morningstar talk. And it is so beautiful. And it's great. So I am a big fan of sharing with integrity, physical mediumship, people like Sonia Rinaldi. And then anybody can still go to the afterlifesymposium.org website to see who was there, because you might see things that you didn't even know exist that people are doing. And I just think that's fascinating. So I'm now looking in the forward to how do I bring more of this to more people?
Well, I think that these symposia are wonderful, but they're a lot of work. That's why I had to just drop out, because I couldn't be doing the work I'm now doing and also doing that and doing either of them with integrity. So it was a hard decision, but everybody said, fine, go do your thing. And I'm very grateful for that.
Absolutely. Because I'm here.
That's not right.
The ball drop.
Now, Sandra, I'm hearing little bits about what you plan, but I don't know. So share with us, please, doing the symposium got you thinking about and what to get next for you.
Very exciting. Thanks for asking. I've had this dream for a long time about doing We Don't Die conferences. And they're not going to be huge like the symposium. Maybe 5 speakers talking about evidence of the afterlife, help through grief. Have an evidential medium or two there as well. What is the purpose of life, living life fully, and even some preparation for when our time comes to exit this earth. So I've seen it in my mind, but never really knew how to go about doing it. And while I was at the symposium, being with Scott and Sonia Rinaldi, I'm thinking, how do I get these two people out to a big audience? And so we actually compared calendars And I thought, you know, I really love sharing great people. And I've got a pretty great story too. And I have lots of good things to share with people. And I thought, this is the genesis of the We Don't Die conferences is coming up. And so between the three of us, we've actually, even though we don't have the venue set, I do think they're going to be on the East Coast, United States. I live in the Boston area. I'm getting this big pull that something should be in the Orlando area, close to an airport, make it affordable.
Uh-huh. Oh, but yeah, easy to get there.
Yeah, that's they're right. Going to be called We Don't Die Boston, We Don't Die Orlando, and in time, there'll be We Don't Die LA, everything. Sonia and Scott will both be there, seances as well. And I've got some ideas for the other members of the team. I just haven't approached them yet. But they're going to be held February 21st through 24th and March 28th through 31st, 2019. Now, how to find out about them is if you join my email list, which is on wedontdieradio.com. There'll be a pop-up screen. You'll be the first to know about it.
And, okay, well, let's stop a minute because I want to make sure I get these dates so I can put them in the description too. And what are the dates in February?
21 through 24. And March 28th through 31st. And because I know not everybody can travel, I have a film producer who's going to record them. And we are going to create it as an online program to get this information to the most amount of people.
Okay, so it's called We Don't Die.
Just right now, it's called We Don't Die.
Okay, conference. All right, just conference.
We have a little work to do, but it'll be a conference. Yes.
I'm so delighted you're doing this. I mean, this is so powerful because a lot of people can spare 2 or 3 days. And if they know they're going to get headliners and only really headliners, and they don't have to socialize much, they can just learn. That is, to me, very important because I agree with you. I think the symposia have become really unwieldy. And I know from having planned previous ones, they take way too much effort. But if basically these are going to be cookies, you've got a cookie cutter, you're going to cookie cut, you know, all of these. So you'll do one a month? Are you really saying that?
No, I'm saying that in 2019, we have February and March available. The rest of the year, not so great with everybody's time. But in the future, this is the direction I want my life to go. You know, you think of some of the big inspirational
speakers. Oh, I love it.
Why can't there be someone talking about the afterlife? And then I just found out there's an afterlife conference in Orlando coming up the first weekend in November. And if people are interested in finding out about that, I'll be interviewing Terry Daniels on my show in a couple of days. But afterlifeconference.com is that website. The AREI there's plenty of Zoom groups that are happening. There'll be a different sort of conference in September. But what's happening, Roberta, is that I am in communication with everybody, and we're all going to share all of this because it's not a competitive field. It is, how do we get this information to people?
See, that's the key. That is the key to all of this, because in every other field, people want to be the one who is famous for having done it. In this field, and I think that the whole source and inspiration for this attitude comes from Craig. Once again, he's the leader, and there has never been anybody who was less concerned about being famous or known for anything than Craig Hogan. And he is so self-effacing, and nobody will step in front of him because nobody can. He's the leader. So when the leader is so self-effacing, he draws to himself people like you who are just want to get the word out and just want to be of service. So again, props to Craig. He really is the one who is behind all of this growth. But you're the one with the energy and the vision. It staggers me that because I know how much work it is, but you're young and you're full of energy and full of love and life. So I know you're going to be able to do it. And if I can help you in any way, just let me know. We'll have you on more often to talk about this, which is very exciting.
I'm really excited. And like I said, to those people that cannot travel, it will be filmed and be made available so that you can watch in the comfort of your own home and get this information. But I think just for me to witness some extraordinary things at the symposium and just think, how can I bring this out to everybody? And with Craig Hogan and the AREI, one of the projects for 2019 is to create an online afterlife university. So people can see on your computer or your smartphone what's going on in the world and hear some of these speeches and presentations and things that you may not be able to get to see these people, but in, you know, in the flesh, but you can see them in the comfort of your own home. So I'm partnering with Craig and giving him an AREI, my time to help create this. So there's more to come about that as well.
It's all really just beginning. Very exciting. Well, dear, it's so good to have you here and to hear what's going on. And thank you so much for giving your life to this work, because you're the right person to be doing it now. So
thank you. Big
hug, Sandra. We'll talk really soon.
We will. And thank you, Roberta, because it all started when I met you, that this started for me. So thank you.
Well, we all have that's one of the things, obviously, I was supposed to do. And now I'm supposed to help you any way I can. So you just let me know what I can do, dear, and I will help.
I will.
Everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so glad you could be with us today. Wasn't this exciting? Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really understand that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest for the second time will be the extraordinary British consciousness researcher, Lynn McTaggart. With mainstream science still stuck in its bogus dogma of materialism, Lynn is one of the few genuine researchers in the world who are working scientifically on developing a core understanding of the amazing powers of our minds. We know that each of our minds is an inextricable part of the source energy that continuously manifests this universe. And Lynn's work is one of the biggest reasons why we know that now. Her 2001 book, The Field, The Quest for the Secret Force of the Universe, is a classic. You must read it. The Field was one of the two books with Craig Hogan's Your Eternal Self in 2008 that helped me begin to understand the physics behind what I had been learning about life after death. It was only then that I was able to write The Fun of Dying. So Lynn McTaggart is one of my heroes. Her terrific 2017 book is called The Power of Eight, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of a Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life, and the World, and it's just out in paperback. This week, of course, our guest has been the wonderful and ebullient Sandra Champlain. Those of us who have grown old in this work, you know, like Craig Hogan and me, are being asked now by those who actually do the work, our friends who are not now in bodies, to mentor and bring along the next generation of the best researchers in this field, and Sandra Champlain is one of our top choices, maybe the top choice. Like all the best researchers, she is and she remains a skeptic. You have to be a skeptic or you'll believe anything. She won't, but she does believe what she can see is true. Like very few people I have ever known, she has dived into doing the original research, and with her whole heart and soul, she has. We'll talk firsthand about being in those seances, learning to be a medium, doing all of that. She does a terrific podcast called We Don't Die Radio, and it's grown rapidly. In fact, now there are more episodes than there are of Seek Reality, which is much, much older. Lots of you have told me that you listen to Seek Reality and to also We Don't Die Radio every week, and I love that. Sandra is a beautiful and delightful seeker. You're going to love having her as part of your life. My own nonfiction books are all available on Amazon, and they're available in bookstores as well. You can also find them, all of them, the adult books, as audiobooks. So if you have trouble getting a book, if you can't afford to buy a book, and if you need one, I just got an email from someone who can't afford to buy Liberating Jesus and she wants it. I'm about to send it to her in PDF. I just want you to know the truth, because as Jesus says, the truth really does set you free, free from everything. If you want to talk about any of my books, or if you want to talk about anything at all, just contact me through robertagrimes.com. I answer every email. Just make sure you've given me your email so that you'll get the email address, so you'll get what I send you. Past episodes of Seek Reality are on webtalkradio.net, iTunes, through the Seek Reality app you can find for free in the iTunes store. And year earlier episodes are being rebroadcast by our wonderful, terrific friends at Dream Vision 7 Radio. If you ever wonder where you can hear Seek Reality, of course, all you have to do is go to robertagrimes.com and click the radio tab. Most of all, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for listening to people like Sandra and me, like Craig, all these people who are giving our lives to help you understand what is true. In the end, everyone's going to know. Your grandchildren, they'll be learning this in school. But meanwhile, you can give yourself and those you love the most perfect eternal peace by learning learning what is true, and it is possible for you to know what is true. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you in particular are a powerful, eternal being, and you, most of all in this entire universe, you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.